We're going to read together from Proverbs and chapter 4 and verse 18 down to 27. Proverbs chapter 4, 18 down to 27. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. We thank God for his word. Now Dave's going to speak to us.
Okay, thank you, Keith and Jill. Those of you that have not perhaps been here for a few weeks, as was said earlier, we've been looking at a series about how we interact with technology. And each week there's been a challenge, and the 180 group, our youth group, have been given that challenge a week early, and then we've been finding out how they've got on with it. So I'm going to first of all invite Michael up just to share what the challenge is that they've had for the past week and what we're going to have for this coming week. So do you want me to say what the two questions were? So the challenge is to do one thing when you're online that will encourage and build your faith, and do one thing that will encourage someone else's faith, or if they're not a Christian, to help them on their journey of faith. So would you be able to just briefly feedback how that's been going? Thank you.
So yeah, that was our challenge for this week, and Isaac sent me a text message during the week of a Bible verse from 1 Timothy. I forgot what it was, but that helped me because I read that bit and understood it, kind of. That's the only... I've heard that Ben forgot to do it. What are we going to do with you? I sent the challenge to Isaac, so that kind of helped him. And I forgot to do something for someone else, but that's the feedback I've got.
Okay, thank you, Michael. So, as we'll come back to that challenge a bit later, but our topic for this week is, can I love the internet? I don't know how your heart responds to that question. Maybe for some of you, smartphones, going online on your laptop, tablet, or your phone is just part of your day-to-day life. Maybe some of you are not really sure even what an app or the internet is, and not something you engage with. Well, if that is you, I'd like to suggest that the principles that we're going to think about today, actually you can apply even if you never go online. And hopefully that will become clear as we go along. So can I love the internet? And so we're going to think, what does right use of technology and the tools that God gives us look like? And this is a question that not only Christians are asking. So just Friday, I was online reading the news, and there was this website on article on the BBC website saying the trouble knowing how much screen time is too much, and it was based upon some research, and actually didn't really give an answer at the end of it. So, but it was just saying it basically it's something we need to work out for our own situation and ourselves. Now, I wonder, does anyone know what or who this is a picture of? It's not actually a photo, because this was from about 430-something AD, so it was long before the age of phones and even digital cameras and all those kind of things. Yeah, Nick? Not the one I'm thinking of. There were various people that actually did this practice. Nigel? Yes, Simon of Simeon's Stylites. And this, if you don't know anything about Simeon, this was a monk in the 400s AD who loved to pray, and he kept getting interrupted by people while he was praying and interrupting his devotional life with people coming for advice and things. So he decided the best way to deal with this was to live on top of a pillar. And I think that's where the word Stylites comes from the Greek word for pillar. And so initially he built a 9-foot platform on top of a 9-foot pillar. And eventually it ended going up to about 50 feet. And he had a 1-meter platform on top of this pillar. And he lived on it for 37 years. I don't think he got down in that time. I'm not sure how he went to the toilet or in full view of everyone. Or I think he had food that was passed up to him on a rope. Or I don't know how he maintained his kind of muscle tone and things, because it's a bit limited what exercise he could do. But anyway, the reason he did this was because he thought that would be the way he could pray better and not be interrupted. Actually, it had the opposite effect, because loads of people came to see him, and they ended up having to build a bit of a barrier around the bottom of the pillar to keep them away a bit. But he did interact a bit with people. But the reason I show that is because whatever Simeon's reasons for living on the top of this pillar, I would argue that it's not a blueprint for how to live our Christian lives. And by that, I don't mean that in terms of living on a pillar, but this principle that as Christians we remove ourselves a little bit from society and the culture in which we live, and because we can maybe wrongly think that that'll enable us to be closer to God. Because actually, I believe that the Bible teaches that as Christians, we're to be the people that are engaged within and at the forefront of society, and to be people that not just kind of hang in there and hopefully survive and get to heaven when we die, but we're to be the people that have the message that can transform society. And the reason I say that in the context of technology and the internet is because we live in a world that is increasingly being connected by the internet and through technology. So if we, rather like Simeon said, I don't want to have anything to do with that kind of stuff, it's, you know, worst case scenario, it's of the devil, and there's loads of bad stuff out there, and that is true. As we've heard over the last few weeks, there are dangers and things we need to be aware of online. But actually, just rejecting it is not an option as we move forward, because that is the way in which many people around us interact and connect. And so we're going to think about how do we use technology and the internet to do this, to engage with the culture in which we live. Before we go into some of the practicalities, and we're going to divide this morning's talk into two bits, and we'll go into some very practical ways in the second bit, I first of all want to just think about some of the principles in that passage in Proverbs that Keith read out. Because I believe that as Christians, if we're going to be part of transforming society, transforming culture, then actually we need to be transformed ourselves. Our hearts need to be transformed. Because the Bible teaches that actually the way that we live, the way that we interact with others and with God and the world actually flows out from our heart. This verse stood out to me in Proverbs chapter 4. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Other versions say that our hearts are like a spring, a wellspring of life. And therefore, we need to guard our hearts. Why is it so important that we guard our hearts? Well, first of all, Jesus teaches that our words flow out of our hearts. Everything we do flows from our hearts. And we thought, as part of our series, about the power of words. And so we can create all sorts of rules around how our words can be right. But actually, if we don't address the issue of some of the things going on in our hearts, at some point, those things will be reflected in our words. And secondly, our actions originate within our hearts, Jesus taught. And so in Mark 7, Jesus says it's from within. Out of our hearts come things like sexual immorality, theft, murder, greed, adultery, envy, slander, arrogance, and foolishness that we've been thinking a little bit about in the book of Proverbs. This is a quote from St. Augustine, who lived at a very similar time, actually, to our man at the top of the pillar. And he says this. It says, in the Old English, it says, "Thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." And it's true, isn't it, that our hearts sometimes have been described as a vacuum within us that have to be filled with something. And the truth is, if we're not filling and satisfying our hearts with God, this God-shaped hole that's often talked about within us, if we're not filling our lives with Jesus and the things and the ways that he wants us to live, then inevitably, because it's a vacuum, it will suck and desire things to fill that void within us. And as Augustine says, our hearts will be restless until we're satisfied in God. And so I just say that as a challenge to myself, as a challenge to each of us here. Are you satisfying your heart, and as Proverbs says, guarding your heart, tending your heart with the things that will fill it with the life and the passion of God? Because if not, sure enough, other things will fill that void, whether that's through the internet or not, all sorts of other things. So let's guard our hearts, because they've been created for Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit to fill us. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you've never taken that step just to say to God, "I want you to come and fill my life, to forgive me, to make me whole," then today is probably as good a day as any other to take that step. Maybe my experience actually is this is a day-by-day process. And you can be there at times where you know something of the fullness of God, and a few days later it slips and God seems a million miles away. And so maybe for others here this morning, today is a day just to say, "God, create that desire in me for yourself and help me to seek you, to fill it." Just before we break, and we've actually got a discussion question in a moment. How do we guard our hearts? Because it's all right knowing that we need to guard them. How do we actually do that? And I just want to use a few of those verses from Proverbs just to guide us. So how do we guard our hearts? So first of all, we need to be honest about ourselves. Right through the book of Proverbs, and in our passage today, it makes it clear there's two ways to live. Sometimes the book of Proverbs, and Jesus used this picture as well, is that our lives are a little bit like a path. And there's two directions, two different paths we can walk along. One, in verse 18, is like a path that's like the first gleam of dawn that shines brightly and ever brighter. The other is a path of darkness where we stumble. And we need to be realistic about ourselves, don't we, and be honest. Because my experience is, and I say this about myself, it's very easy to look like a fairly good Christian on the outside without having the reality of God on the inside. We can learn the Christian lingo, we can do the right things, we can not do certain things which we're not supposed to do, and we can look like all's going well, and actually the reality underneath can be that we're a million miles from God. So let's be honest about ourselves. Secondly, this passage in Proverbs says, pay close attention to God's words. It says, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Don't let them out of your sight and keep them within your heart. The great thing about phones, and we'll learn one or two resources later, is that you literally can do that, because if you've always got your phone on you, you've always got access to God's word without carrying a huge Bible around with you. And we'll look at some of those resources later. And so that our technology can be a great tool to live out this, to pay close attention to God's words. Thirdly, we need to think about our own words that we say. It says, above all else, guard your heart. Everything flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity and corrupt talk from your lips. Because whilst it's true that the words that we say flow out of our hearts, it's also true that the words that we say impact our hearts as well. So think about our words. And then finally, recognize life is a journey, a path. And any of you that have done a bit of walking along the coastal path or in the Lake District or on Dartmoor or wherever you like to walk will know that to get along the path is a step-by-step process. And to stay on the path, it just requires us to keep taking one step after another in the right direction. And any of you who've lost a path will know once you've gone off it, you actually often need to change course to get back on the path. So it's not an event, God in our hearts and nurturing our hearts. It's a process that my experience is requires a daily and even moment by moment decision, because life is a journey, but there's a wonderful destination at the end of it. So just we're going to play a song in a moment, but just before we do that, I just want you to discuss for maybe a couple of minutes a question. So because we want today to be positive, we don't want it to be about don't do this, don't do that. Just think very briefly about some ways that your heart is inspired by God. That doesn't particularly have to be through things online. It can be all sorts of ways. So just very briefly, if you turn to the person next to you, or if you need to turn around, if you want to just do this on your own, that's okay too, and then I'll get a bit of feedback. Indeed, if you're not a Christian and you want to talk about what does that next step look like, then take the opportunity today to talk and pray with someone. So we're going to think just for the next few minutes now, what does right use of the internet look like? And I'm going to think of just two aspects of this based upon what I've said so far. And the first is, how can we use the internet and our phones and technology to inspire our own hearts and transform our own hearts. So it's a resource, as Mike Strange said, there's, in one sense, a phone is just a tool. The internet is just a resource. And like most things in life, it can be used for good or bad. But as Christians, I think we can take hold of this tool and the resources and opportunities out there on the internet in loads of positive ways. So the first is there's all sorts of apps. If you're not sure what an app is, it's basically just a means of getting what's on the internet onto your phone in a user-friendly way. And so one is called the Bible app. And I know Aislinn encouraged some of our young people to download this onto their phones recently. And so I'm just going to ask Isaac how he's found it helpful.
I found it really helpful because I can just listen to the Bible because it plays it to you. And every day it gives me the verse of the day that I read.
Thanks, Isaac. So it's it gives you a verse for the day. You can download pretty much any version of the Bible. So even if you're out of the range of a mobile signal or the internet, you can have your Bible on your phone. It's all free. It's and what I love is no adverts on it because it's been funded by Christians as a resource to use. And there's all sorts of other ways. And resources as well as just the Bible. So there's Bible reading plans and various Bible notes to take you through. So the Bible app, if you just look that up on the Play Store or if you've got an iPhone on their store, and you'll find it. It's also under YouVersion. And the exciting thing about this I don't know what you'd call it. I don't know if it's a charity or company that run this. Is they're also looking at new ways as technology advances and develops. They're looking at new ways that scripture can get out there and people can engage with scripture. Because it might be that whilst we use our phones now, in 10 years' time, who knows where technology is going to go. And they've got a whole team of developers looking at that and developing and new resources about and the technology and programming things that needs to go on with that. Another resource, this is a Scripture Union one that I've used for a couple of years, is called Word Live. This is just a website, but they've made it so it's very user-friendly with your phone, and you can access it on your laptop or PC. And just gives you, this is today's one, and it's based, I can't scroll down because this is just a screenshot, but the title is Our Lord, Our Hear. It's based on a psalm, so it gives you an opening question, prepare, then it gives you your Bible passage for the day, so you can read it on there or in your paper copy of the Bible. Then it gives you a bit of some thoughts about the passage. There's then an application question, and then if you want to go deeper into the background of the passage, or there's a going deeper bit at the bottom. And then underneath that, there's also, you can sign in, and there's a bit of an online community where people reflect on the passage, share their thoughts and prayer requests and all sorts of things. So that's another resource. Very good. Lots of well-known Christians contribute to WordLive. And here's a few others. So I've mentioned a couple. There's Bible Gateway. That's a great resource. It's got a concordance, good search facility. And again, loads of versions of the Bible. Also, Olive Tree, that's another one. Enables you to easily compare two Bible passages at the same time and other resources. And there's also this, at the bottom, I've got Meet J app, which is an application for a smartphone. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about that. Because this is part of a Christian's vision, to be part of transforming culture. And so I was chatting with Keith the other week, and he, about today and communication, he was saying, I think there's a counties evangelist. Some of you will know Mike Strange, who came a couple of weeks ago. He works for a Christian organization called Counties, and one of their evangelists, a guy called Matt Rich, who is this chap here, he had this idea, and then Counties supported him with it, to reach people online with the message of Jesus. And so he set up a website where people can go on and they can chat online. If you don't know what that is, it means you can type in a question and someone will be there at the same time to pick up that conversation, and then you can communicate through your computers. And so he set up this website called Chat Now. Have a look at it later if you've got computer access. Just a word of caution, the website is chatnow.org, because if you put Chat Now into Google, there's some interesting websites come up that may not be helpful. So chatnow.org, and maybe put Christian website into your search as well. But yeah, this is a great resource. So I emailed Matt earlier this week just to say, could I have a bit more information? Has it been successful? Because it's been going since 2012. And he was really positive about what's going on. And he set up this Meet J app, which is designed really for your phone. And it's not just for young people, but it's designed for young people and for non-Christians, which, amongst other things, takes you through a 40-day reading plan in the Gospel of Mark. So if you want a Bible reading plan for 40 days, download Meet J onto your phone, and that will give you that resource. But going back to this website and resource, so he was saying that over the past 12 months, 134,000 people have visited this website, over 500,000 since it began. And it's, I think he works on it, but he's reliant on volunteers as well, because it needs to be manned 24/7 in case people want to chat through the night or from other countries. And their volunteers have chatted with 32,000 people during 2017. That's one person every 16 minutes. One of the really encouraging stats for me was that 60% of the people are under 35, a generation that we're struggling to engage with and reach out to as a church. I say that generally, the church in the UK. 60% are under 35. And out of those 32,000 people that have had online chats last year, 5,000 had some aspect of the gospel explained. So they go on, they may not be asking about God particularly or Jesus, even though it's a Christian. And so they begin with where the person is at. That might be a relationship issue, an issue with drugs or alcohol. And then they start chatting with them about that. Really good principle for us, just in our conversations with engaging with culture. Begin with where the people are at, rather than trying to get your ABC of the gospel over to them in the first 5 minutes and build relationship. And last year, around about 500 wanted to follow Jesus Christ as a result of this online chat. And then I guess they tried to link them up with the local church and things. And this app for the phone, the Meet J app, which is a fairly recent development, has already been downloaded over 4,000 times. And so I asked Matt for a story. So he said one of our volunteers was online chatting to someone, and there was a Muslim man who's working in Saudi Arabia, and he came online to chat. And he explained that he had a dream to their volunteer at Chat Now, and this dream was about a man in white clothes who was holding out his hand to him, saying, "Come with me, I'm your only hope." He didn't have a clue what this meant, so he went online, found Chat Now. That was one of the things that Matt asked us to pray for, is when people are searching Google for help, they get directed to this resource. And so one of their volunteers, called Nicola, was able to introduce Jesus to this man. And this was his prayer that he prayed some point down along in the conversation. It says, "Jesus, please forgive me for my every sin. I wasn't following the right path. I wasn't knowing who you are. I didn't know that you died for us, and I was continuing in sin. I know that you'll forgive me because you have a very soft heart for us. Please, Jesus, see my tears and forgive me, please." It's just one of many interactions online of Jesus and the power of the Spirit working through the internet. And another story, this is about the app for the phone. It says, another person, a different person who downloaded this app says, "You've no idea how the Meet Jay app got me to where I am now. I was down, out, angry, hurt, on the edge of not seeing another year through. Little did I know that a couple of months later I'd be going to a church, owning a Bible, and drinking less. But by getting to know Jesus through Meet Jay, things became clearer. I could find answers. My heart softened just enough that I was willing every day to take a step further. In my world where I live every day with fear, flashbacks, nightmares, and hurt, Meet Jay, and now my Bible, has become a safe place. I never thought I would admit this to anyone in my life, but reading Meet Jay gave me some peace before bedtime." And there's lots of stories like that about this work. If you want a little bit more information, there is a newsletter. I've got a few printouts. So do pray for that ministry. And if you want to be a volunteer and chat with people about Jesus online, then I'm sure he would love to hear from you. Just to finish off then and tie up, what can we do to be part of transforming culture? What can we do to be part of transforming culture? Well, first of all, we need to cultivate our hearts on a daily basis. Just think about that path. It's a step-by-step process. So what will this look like for you this week? Doesn't need to be an online resource. We can cultivate our hearts in all sorts of ways. And secondly, recognize that the small things make a difference. Because culture is transformed not just by one big idea, it's transformed by thousands and thousands of little actions that we as Christians can be part of and should be part of. And just one very quick example of this. So last summer, and I don't say this to promote myself anyway, because this was at a time where God seemed very distant. Some of you will know that I was studying for 2 years, and so I got to know the other people on my course quite well. They knew that I was a Christian. And occasionally, I would just say to them, would you like me to pray about that for you? And so occasionally they'd text me with a prayer request. And so just after I finished the course last summer, I got a text from one of the girls on the course. She said, "I've just heard that one of the tutors on the course, her son's had a really bad accident. He's in intensive care. They're not sure whether he's going to live. I know that you believe in God and prayer. Would you pray for him?" And so I said, "Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to pray." And so didn't hear anything about that. Obviously, I prayed as best as I could. I contacted this tutor in the autumn, didn't hear anything back. I was thinking, I didn't know what had happened to her son. I then emailed her again 2-3 weeks ago, and she was back at work because she needed a few months off. And she said, "You will not believe what's happened. It was a miracle. He was in a coma, had a severe brain injury. He was in a coma for 3 weeks. And it's a miracle. He's his back. And so I was able to email her back and the friend on my course just to say, this is a great answer to prayer. And hopefully for those two people, it was just a little step along their journey of faith, just by offering to pray. So there's the challenge for our week. Do one thing that will strengthen your faith. Doesn't have to be on the internet if you don't use it. And do one thing that will encourage someone else in their faith journey. And that someone else doesn't need to be a Christian. Could be someone at work. Could be a conversation over the fence with your neighbour. And aim to do this at least once this week. If you're really keen, you can try and do this every day. Right, thank you for your time.